The following is a talk that I'm about to give here in Borough Park. The topic is Hakaras HaTov, thanks and no thanks.
I'm deeply grateful to Mrs. Esti Sharp and the officers of Tishkat Yehuda for inviting me to come to speak to all of you. A number of months ago, I had the opportunity to meet a young Sfardish Talmud Chacham who was a Maggid Shir in Yeshiva Rishon LeZion in Eretz Yisrael. His name is Rav Shmuel Tairi. And Rav Shmuel told me a very interesting incident that he heard from his own Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Chaim Meir Rovman. He told of a father and a son that lived in the coldest regions in Siberia, in the coldest regions of Russia. And they had only one coat in the house. And the father said, "This coat, I'm the one that should be able to wear it. I'm old, I'm frail, I could get sick, I could die. I'm the one that should have that coat." And the son said, "I'm the one that should have the coat. I'm the one that's outside. I'm working out in the field. It's freezing out there. The winds are horrible. I'm the one that should have the coat." And so the father and son had this terrible machlokes, and they decided to go to their rav. They went to the rav, and the rav sees Nebach, a father and a son, in such a bit of machlokes, and he says, "I never heard such an argument. I don't find anything like this in Shulchan Aruch. Give me 2 days, come back, and I will decide for you." After 2 days, the father and the son, before they go to the rav, they start thinking. And the father thinks to himself, "The truth is, my son is right. I am home, I'll get an extra blanket, I can wrap myself in another few extra blankets. My son is out in the field, he's got the freezing, he should have the coat." And the son starts thinking, "The truth is, my father's right. My father is an old man. He devoted his entire life to me. He's the one that should get the coat. I'm out on the workplace. I'll get a fire. We'll take some logs. I'll warm myself. My father should have it." So the son says, "Dad, do you have it?" And the father says, "No, my son, you should have it." And they get into a machlokes and they come to the rav. And the rav now sees that they're arguing totally the opposite. So the rav says, "You know, wait a minute." And the rav goes back to his room and he comes out with a big, heavy fur coat and he gives it to them. And he says, "Here, now you have two coats. You'll use one, father, and the son, you'll use another one." So they thank him profusely. And then the son says, "Rebbe, I imagine that you had this coat 2 days ago. So if you had the coat 2 days ago, why didn't you give it to us then?" Listen to what the Rebbe said. The Rebbe said, "When I saw that you, the father, said, 'I can't share it, I have to have it for myself.' And the son said, 'I can't share it, I have to have it for myself.' So I decided that I too should say, 'I can't share it, I have to have it for myself.' But now that I see that the father says, 'It's okay, I can share it, you could have it.' And the son says, 'No, I don't have to have it, you could have it.' So the rav said, 'If that's the case, I could also say, I don't have to have my coat, you could have it.'" And the Rebbe said that that's the lesson that David HaMelech was teaching us in Tehillim Kuf Chof Aleph Pasukei. Hashem Silcha. The Eivista is your shadow. If you share and you give and you're kind to others, the Rabbeinu Shalala will be the exact same to you. He will act as your shadow. He will share. He will give. But if Chas V'Shalom a person is stingy and holds back to himself, then the Rabbeinu Shalala is going to do the same thing. The Pasuk says in Chagai Beis, Pasuk Ches, Liyah Kesef, V'Liyah Zob Num Hashem. David says, "Everything belongs to me. All the resources in the world belongs to me. But if you give to others, I will give to you. If you hold back, I will hold back." And that, Rab Elia Lafian tells us, is the lesson of Elul. Elul, we all know, stands for in Pasuk Shir Hashirim, Vav Gimel, Ani L'Doidi, V'Doidi Li. The way Rav Elia Lapian teaches the pasuk, Ani L'Doidi, if I look at the good that Hashem has given to all of us, If I look at the good that Hashem has given to me, and I recognize and I act accordingly, then Hashem will look at me, the good that I do, and he will act accordingly. But if Chas V'Shalom, a person is a kofritoy, a person doesn't recognize the good that Hashem gives him, then Chas V'Shalom, the Eibishter will act the exact same way, and he won't see the good that we do. There's a pasuk, Ish Lefi Mahaloloi, a pasuk in Mishlei Chav Zayin Chaf Aleph. And Rabbi Yitai says, Ish, a person is measured the way he praises and looks for the good and recognizes the good in either HaKadosh Baruch Hu or in fellow man. And so what we will learn tonight is the message of Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. We are going to learn tonight how to recognize the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. How to recognize the good that other people do for us. And if we are Ani L'Doidi in all senses of the word, then we will be Zeicha Doidi Li. Hashem will look at us at the good that we do, and our friends will look at the good that we do and act accordingly. Every morning, when a person wakes up, the very first word that a Yid says is Moida Ani. Thank you. Hakara Satoi. That's the first word that a Yid is supposed to say when he wakes up in the morning. Thank you. We know Tehillim. Tehillim has 2,527 psukim. The very last pasuk in Tehillim, in Perek Kuf Nun, tells us, Kol Haneshama Tehalel Ka. David HaMelech is telling us, I wrote 2,527 psukim. But it all comes down to this. Kol HaNeshama, your entire neshama, your entire essence, the Halal Kah, has to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah Yudala Tess tells us, you know what it means? Kol HaNeshama, Al Kol Neshima V'Neshima. Shorich l'kalech v'boire. We have to be grateful for every breath of life. But many times we don't think about it. We just take it for granted that we're living. But Chazal wants us to appreciate every breath of life. We all know that when we come to shul and when we daven in Shemin Esra, and the Chazan is repeating the Shemin Esra. So when he repeats the bracha, Rifa'enu Hashem, give us healing, we all say Baruch Hu V'Shamay and Amen. When we talk about Yishalayim, Mircha Davis, it should bring back Yishalayim, we all say Baruch Hu V'Shamay and Amen when the Chazan says. But now, here comes Moedim. And the Gemara says, Bisman Sheshliach Tzibur Amo Moedim, the Gemara in Seita Mem Aleph, Mem Amid Aleph, when the Shliach Tzibur says Moedim, how do we respond? It's not enough just to say Baruch Hu V'Shamay and Amen. Rav says you have to say one phrase. Shmuel says you have to say another phrase. Rav Simoy says you have to say another phrase. Nardoi says another phrase. Rav Achaba Yankov says another phrase. So Rav Papa says, you know what? It's talking about Moedim. Hilkach Nimrinu Lekulu. We say it all. What's the reason why Moedim is called Moedim de Rabbanon? It's because it's a composite of all the different phrases that the Rabbanon put together. One said this, the other said this, the other said this. Rav Papa said, we say it all. We're going to say it all. By Moedim, there's not enough praise that you can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the next time you're in shul, watch, you'll see it's called Moedim de Rabbanon, because it's not enough just to say Baruch Hu V'Shamay and Amen. We all know that we are called Yehudim. Every year it's called the Yehudi. Where does that come from? When Leah had her fourth child, Leah said, "Batayme hapam oide es Hashem." Now, this time I'm going to thank Hashem, and she called her son Yehuda. And the Sforna on the spot, the Bereishis Chofes Lamed Hei tells us, what's so special about the name Yehuda? Of course, it has Yud-Kei Vov-Kei in it. But even more, it has the word thank you. And tonight, we're going to learn a new phrase. A Jew says thank you. That's why we're called Yehudim. We should hang up big signs. Our essence should be, a Jew says thank you. And I'm going to tell you something. My mechatenis is sitting here. I hope she won't mind. Something happened a week and a half ago. I marveled at my mechutin.
I have a wonderful mechutin who lives a half a block from here. His name is Rav Moshe David Perlstein, Mr. Max Perlstein. He had the great good to marry off his youngest child. So now all his children are Baruch Hashem married of our Yidden Gezach. So in the middle of the chatana, he gets up and he makes an announcement right at the music stand. And he says, I want to do something now that I have not asked anyone, including my wife. I have not asked anyone whether I should do this, but I want to do this. And I didn't ask anybody because I don't want anybody to tell me no. I want to give a shevach v'hoydol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we have to learn. He used the phrase, Chazdei Hashem ki lo yishamnu ki lo tolu rachamav. I know that in Europe, where I was in England, I once spoke at a chasana in England, I once spoke in South Africa, I once spoke in Belgium at a chasana. It's a highlight when you have a speaker at a chasana at the meal. In America, we're not used to that. And I don't want to start a new minute even if you call me to be the speaker. It's not the thing. We're not interested in speeches at the wedding. But what a beautiful gesture for a father to get up. That's not a speech. That's HaKadosh HaToy. When a father is zoicha to marry off all his children and to get up berabim and to say, Hoydu Hashem Kitoy Kiliyalam Chasay. That's a minute that I think that we should start in America. It's a beautiful minute. Besides, I can take that broom. I don't even know where that minute comes from. But I don't know. To me, you sweep dirt, not kids. But okay, Klal Yisrael does it. I'm not criticizing. But fine, you make a fancy broom, whatever. I don't know where it comes from. But this is a Yiddish mokar to say, Hoydu Hashem Kitoy Kiliyalam Chasay. Yet we find right at the beginning of time, Adam HaRishon was a kafutai. He was ungrateful. He was unthankful. What happened? We all know the story. Chava told him to eat. So what does Adam say? And Bereshit Shimon Yudbei Vayayimer HaAdam. Adam says, Ha'isha Hashem Osati Imadi. That lady, that wife that you gave me, he knows Nalimanai. It's her fault. And the Ramban says what Adam was saying to Hashem, Ata garamta li hamichshol, you caused me this downfall. So Rashi tells us, Kan kofar b'teiva. What do you mean? A wife is a wonderful thing. She does so many wonderful things for you. And now you go complain, even if she gave you one bit of bad advice. It's not the reason to blame her and to blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam HaRishon was a kofu toy. As a matter of fact, we all know by the Dor HaFloga, the Dor after Noah, they built a big tower. They're going to go fight with Hashem. So listen to what the Pasuk says. Bereshit Yud Aleph Hey. Vayered Hashem Liroi Tetzair Vetamigdol. The Eidus went down to see the city and the tower. Asher Bonu B'nei HaAdam. That the sons of man built. So Rashi says, what do you mean the sons of man? What were they? Sons of camels? The sons of Chamoyim? So Rashi says, they were the sons of that man who wasn't grateful. Because they were ungrateful. Everybody got killed in the whole world. And their ancestors survived the Mabul. So you're alive. So now you're going to go fight with Hashem. You're lucky to be alive. So they were also kofutai. And Klal Yisrael, imagine, it's unimaginable to us. Not even 49 days after they went out of Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael is complaining to Hashem. Hayez Hashem b'kivenu emayim. Is Hashem with us or not? He just took them out of Mitzrayim, and already they're complaining. So the next pasuk tells us in Shemot Yisayim, pasuk Ches, Vayovei Amalek. Amalek comes and hits Klal Yisrael. So Rashi gives a very beautiful muscle. Says, imagine a father is walking and he's got a little child on his shoulders. And the child wants a toy, so the father gives him a toy. He wants a candy, he gives him a candy. He wants everything that he wants. He gives him. Thank you, Shalom. Of course, I tell you. Thank you. So, he gives him everything that he wants. Somebody comes over to the father, to the little boy, says, excuse me, son, where's your father? He says, I don't know. So the father says, you don't know. I'll put you down on the floor and a dog will bite you and then you'll see. What do you mean you don't know? That's what the Eibishter said. You ask Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu, oh, v'yovei Amalek. I'll tell you what happened to me as I was preparing this Russia the other day. Many of you know that I have all these stickers, you know, everybody's always asking me, what's the system with the stickers? That's a different Russia. But whatever it is, I was sitting the other day and I was preparing this Russia and I've got all these stickers on my table. So my little grandson comes over to me. He says, Zadie, can I have some stickers? He knows I always put stickers on his nose, on his ear, on his forehead. Fine, okay, he knows. Fine. So I give, he says, I want a lot of stickers. I give him a whole sheet of stickers. And I say, I don't want you to waste them. Don't forget, when you go back to your own house, you should have them. Don't waste them. 5 minutes later, he comes back. He's got all the stickers across his head, on his cheeks, on his nose, on his chin. He says, Davey, look, I'm a colorful clown. I said to my brother, I told you not to waste them. He says, Davey, can I have more stickers? I said, no, I told you not to waste them. He says, Davey, you never give me anything. Of course. When little Avramala says that, it makes sense. But not when Klal Yisrael comes out of Mitzrayim. Within 49 days, they're already complaining. That's already your kofi toy. That's why Hashem got angry at them. Why are we kofi toy? You know why? Because we don't stop and think. Because we take everything for granted, and after a while, we think it's coming to us. That's why. I'll tell you an interesting Gemara, and I've got it in my notes. It's unbelievable. Listen to this Gemara. Right? You won't believe this. The Gemara tells us, in Bava Metzia, that Pei Rav Amidala, that it happened once, Rav Shimon ben Tachlif ben Chalapta. Rav Shimon ben Chalapta, Gemara says, was very, very heavy. And those people that are very heavy, we all suffer from the heat. But heavy people suffer even worse. So one time, Yom Achad, it was very hot. So he goes over to his daughter. Listen to this. Amalei Leparta, he says, Ziti, my daughter, Hanifi Olai B'menafke, why don't you fan me a little bit? Right? Come on, Shola B'Isa Natai. Why don't you fan me a little bit? That's what he said. And he says to his daughter, you know, if you fan me, then I'll give you kikrin denard. I'll give you a whole bag of shaman. I'll give you a whole bag of spices. Somebody would do that to me, I'll give you more than spices. But okay. Anyway, so then what happens? He's sitting on a boulder by a mountain. All of a sudden, a beautiful soft breeze, a beautiful soft breeze comes and gives a blow. And you know what Rav Shimon ben Chalapta says? Oy vey vey, he says, Kama kikrin denard lamoridichi. How much spices I owe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who really creates all the breezes. What is the Gemara trying to tell us here? You know what the Gemara is trying to tell us? That if my little friend Shalom would come up here and blow and fan for me, and he would get me a fan, I would be willing to pay. But a lot of times Hashem does you the same favor, and you don't even think about it. That's what the Gemara is telling us. I want to tell you something that we could start being careful as of tomorrow morning. You know what Rav Chaim Kosana says? Rav Chaim Kosana was a Rosh Yeshiva in Hebron. So he says, in benching, what do we say? Hazon et ha'olam kulei de'evisei, you nourish the entire world with your goodness. Bechein, bechesed, uverachamim. Did we ever think, what's the difference between chein and chesed and rachamim? Okay, the Eivisa gives us food, that's rachmonis, we should be able to survive. It's with chesed, he gives us even more than we need, but what's the chein? Chein means beauty. Chein means graciousness. Chein is loveliness. Let's think for a moment. How does a car exist? A car exists on motor oil, transmission fluid, right, and gasoline. Quite a diet. How do cows, how do animals exist? On water and grass. Hashem could have created us that we would be sustained with water and grass. Hashem could have created us in any way he wanted. But there is a chain. There are certain foods that are beautiful. Is there anything more beautiful tonight than a juicy piece of watermelon? Is there anything as beautiful as a beautiful piece of honeydew or cantaloupe? And then sometimes you come to a parlor meeting or you come to a kiddush and the honeydew and the cantaloupe and the watermelon. You're not allowed to listen to this tape on a fast, by the way. But if you, and all these beautiful foods, so colorful, gorgeous. And we sink into it, it's beautiful. That's chayim. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the beauty of food. Now I want to tell you about a magazine. I'm not telling you to subscribe to this magazine. I don't even know if you know about this magazine. I found out about this. I have a daughter who's a terrific baker and a terrific cook. Your daughter-in-law. But anyway, she's terrific. So I remember a number of years ago, I found a magazine called Chocolatier. Chocolatier comes out once every 2 months. So I bought her a subscription. If you would see that book, that magazine, you would not believe what you can do with chocolate. Chocolate cake and chocolate mousse and chocolate candies and cannolis. I mean, that's mamish, right? Does it get any better than that? A cannoli, if you know what it is? That's chayim. That's delicious. That's beautiful to look at. Well, we didn't even think about it. And you know what the Oye Cheskel writes? You wouldn't believe. The Oye Cheskel, the Mashgiach of Panovich writes, he says many times we bench, of course, And we bench because we are convinced that that's the proper thing. We do it out the mitzvah. And he says, Mechavnim Mishum Frumkeit. We bench because it's a frum thing to do. But what about the idea of Einenu Choshim Klal? How you say the Sakara Satoi? Thank you. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for that hot dog and mustard. Thank you for that piece of pizza. Besides the frum aspect of benching, the next time we eat a meal, we should be thankful that the food is delicious, that we have a variety of foods. These are things we take for granted. Nobody even thinks about it. But if we begin to think in error, I mean, Ladoidi, David, I'm so grateful you created all kinds of beautiful fruits and capabilities of people to make such beautiful platters and all kinds of food. Then Doidi leaves, and after we bench, David said, we'll look at the good that we do, and we'll share from his goodness with us. I want to tell you a great story. A great story that happened to a friend of mine. His name in Eretz Yisrael is Rav Mordechai Nagashol. Rav Mordechai Nagashol is a young Talmud Chacham who is absolutely brilliant. He has 700 tapes on various inyonim in Eretz Yisrael. He's on radio every week. It's called Radio Esser. People from all over Eretz Yisrael call him with questions. He has tapes on every topic under the sun, including special tapes on Tanakh. So he tells me like this, that in just 2 years ago, 1996, in May, his father-in-law was very, very sick. And he was in the Tel HaShomer hospital right outside Tel Aviv, and he was with his father-in-law all night. And the nurses, they knew who he was. Everybody in Eretz Yisrael who knows Rav Nagashol. So they said to him, Rabbi, you have to give shiurim tomorrow. Why don't you go home? We'll take care of your father-in-law. We'll be here. Somebody will be with him all night. And he says, look, I can't do it. It's my father-in-law. I have to be here. So, of course, he's exhausted. And never his father-in-law suffering. It wasn't that you could really get into a conversation. And he was there. And then in the morning, another family member took over for him. He goes to a local minyan, and he starts driving back in his van alone to Yerushalayim. I don't have to tell you, lately, the traffic going up that hill to Yerushalayim. Very, very difficult. And when you're crawling, your eyes begin to close, and he was up all night, and he's fighting to stay awake. There's no place to pull over on the side, and he knows that he's only got 10 minutes left to get to Sanhedrin Mochevet. And he's fighting to stay awake, but all of a sudden he finds that he obviously must have closed his eyes, and the car, the van, went over the side of the road. And it's tumbling down a mountain, rolling over. The car is a total wreck. His wife never looked at the car after that. They told her she never wanted to look at it. It was a total wreck. And it lands on its side against the tree. And he's locked in. Baruch Hashem, he was wearing his seatbelt. And he's locked in. Somebody opens up the door, and they pull him out. And, of course, he's all bruised and scratched, but he's alive. And of course, in Eretz Yisrael, I don't have to tell you, everybody's got a cell phone. So in a second, they call all the cops, and everybody's running down that mountain, trying to help him in any which way. And a man comes over to Rav Nagashol, and he says to him, he says, whatever you do, don't tell the cops you fell asleep, because you'll get a big fine, they'll take away your license, and you won't get insurance. He never saw this guy in his life. But already, the guy's giving him advice. Fine, no problem. Tell him, I need a refill. So what happens is, 2 minutes later, a policeman comes over to Rav Nagashol. He says, what happened? Now, he just got advice from this fellow. So listen to what he says. He says, officer, I want you to know I've been driving for close to 20 years. Never did I fall asleep while I was driving. But last night, my father-in-law was very sick, and I was up a whole night with him. And I felt that was the right thing to do, and I drove back to Yerushalayim, and it's obvious, officer, that I must have fallen asleep. So the Israeli officer tells him, the mitzvah saved your life, I'm not going to give you a summons. Only in Eretz Yisrael could such a thing happen. So Rav Nagashol afterwards told me, why did I say the truth? After all, the guy gave me a good bit of advice. He said, you know why I said the truth? Not because it's the proper mitzvah seket derchav, that's not the reason. I said it because of akara satoy. Imagine somebody does you a favor and saves your life. And then asks, could you do me a favor? Of course you would do him anything. He, the Rebbe Shlomo, saved my life. And now 2 minutes later, he's asking me, I'm asking you a favor, say the truth. Of course I have to say the truth. That's akara satoy. If we realize the godless and all the miracles that happen to us every minute, I'll call Nishima Benishima. Then when Hashem wants us to do something, it's not a question of frumkeit. It's a question of Hakaras HaToiv. There's so much to be grateful for. I think that we all have to begin saying the pasuk, Hoidu Hashem Ki Toiv Ki Le'olam Chasdei, even if nobody's around. If you go home tonight and your children are Baruch Hashem healthy, and they're sleeping peacefully, or they're playing, say quietly, Hoidu Hashem Ki Toiv Ki Le'olam Chasdei. This afternoon in my neighborhood, I saw Yiddish kinder, boys and girls, 8, 9 years old, coming home from school, coming off a school bus. Baruch Hashem, we have Yiddish kinder in the neighborhood. Do we ever thank Hashem that we live in a geshmak, a wonderful neighborhood that people all over the world are chalasing to live in? If you make a sale, if you make a commission, if you do a good business deal, even if no one is there, Hoidu Hashem Ki Toiv Ki Le'olam Chasdei. How many times Friday night before I walk into the house, I always feel, Baruch Hashem, there's a wife, there's children, the week, the Vachavika part of the week is away, Shabbos Kodesh, the most tranquil moment of the week, you're going to make Kiddush, a beautiful table that says, before you walk in, Hoidu Hashem Ki Toiv Ki Le'olam Chasdei. We have to begin making that part of the way we speak all the time. I'm going to tell you a painful story that I told here a year and a half ago, but I want to bring out a point. Shalom, I need a refill if you don't mind. Some of you may remember the story about a little boy that was born. Thank you. Shalom is my friend. Some of you may remember about a little boy that was born in Eretz Yisrael, and then just an hour after he was born, the little boy's grandmother or great-grandmother is sitting in this audience tonight. They told the young parents this child cannot swallow. And the parents and the grandparents, everyone was frantic. Who ever heard of such a thing that a child doesn't swallow? And nobody could understand. Was it a mental thing? Was it a physical thing that he had a blockage? Or was it a mental thing that he doesn't understand that he has to swallow? And they took all kinds of tests, MRIs, EKGs, every kind of CAT scan, whatever. And of course, the doctor said that the child can't have a breath. And every day the kid is being fed through his nose and through his stomach, all kinds of tubes. And the child is growing a week and two, and he's only existing through all these tubes intravenous. Finally, it comes time for his pidyon haben. When it comes time for the pidyon haben, the kohen didn't even want to walk into the hospital. There could be mason in the hospital. So what's happening is that they're going to have a pidyon haben for a baby who doesn't yet have a breath, who doesn't have a Yiddish name yet. And he's not even going to be there because he can't get out of the hospital. But it happened the last half hour before he was supposed to have the pidyon haben. The doctors passed him. They said, good, he can come out if he's hooked up to all the tubes. The nurses and doctors go along. He can go to the shul. So they come to the pidyon haben, and the father says he wants to say a vatera, which he does. And then he says, I want to say a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says like this. The bracha was already said by Chazal. I say, Yotzar et ha'odem b'chokhma. The Eibishter created a person with wisdom. Uvaravoy nikovim nikovim, and he created him with openings. Chalulim chalulim. And then he stops crying. And he says, go with the Yadu'ala Fanecha. It's known to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'imi baseech echad mehem. If let's say somebody has a part of the body that's supposed to remain closed, a vein or a vessel, it shouldn't be open, otherwise a person could bleed to death. But are you saseim echad mehem, or something that's supposed to remain open, like a nostril and it's closed? He has to leave crying. There are things in our body that's supposed to remain open, things in our body that are supposed to remain closed. It's like a whole orchestra that's going on there. Kidneys are filtering, the heart is pumping, the digestive system is processing all the food. It's all going like this. It's a whole orchestra. Baruch Ata Hashem, he says, Reifei Chovosar Omafli Lasei. And perhaps that's what we have to do. We have to start concentrating on our brachas, being grateful that our body is functioning in a way that it's supposed to function. And I'll tell you a remarkable thing that a man in Muncie did. A man in Muncie, he happened to be in a yeshiva, and he noticed that a fellow walked out of the bathroom and he walked into a telephone booth, and as he's dialing, he's saying, Asher Yotzar. And this person was so angry. Asher Yotzar? You're thanking Hashem for everything that he does for your bodily functions, and you are dialing a phone? Who are you making a call to? So you know what he did, this man? It's unbelievable. One man, look what he did. I'm sure many of you have seen this poster. This poster is made in every language that you can imagine. I'm just holding up here one in Persian. There's one in Russian, in French, in Spanish, in English, in Yiddish, in Hebrew. And he made it and he gives it out free all over the world so that people should understand and be grateful and understand what a body is all about. And I'm going to give you two telephone numbers. If you want to write it down, you can call them. They'll send you big ones, little ones, any language free. Hang it up in your house. Hang it up in your kitchen. Hang it up in a school. 914-352-0111 or else an 800 number. 800-700-9577. But here's one man who felt that Klal Yisrael should understand the importance of a bracha. Look what he did. Here's another thing. Perhaps tonight, in Elul, we should all make a commitment. The Gemara tells us in Menachos that there was a time in Menachos Mem Gimel Amud Beis, there was a time when Nebuch, there was a Shrek Lechatzorah in Klal Yisrael, and hundreds of people were dying every day. So David HaMelech made up that we should say 100 brachas. And the Mepharshim on Menachos Mem Gimel Amud Beis say, you know why? Because David HaMelech understood. You know why Hashem was angry? Because people don't thank him. People don't have a Koros HaToy. So perhaps all of us from tonight on, men, women, and children, we should make a commitment. From now on, we are going to try to make 100 brachas every day. And believe me, if you're on a diet, it's difficult. And if you don't daven Shemoneh Esrei 3 times a day, it's difficult. But maybe that's what we have to do to stop the Shrek Lecha Gezeirah of death and desolation and so much destruction that we see in Klal Yisrael. Maybe the problem is what David HaMelech showed us. David HaMelech said, people aren't grateful. Let's make 100 brachas a day, at least in Elul and in Tishrei and Atzeres Yemei Teshuva. Thank you. Maybe that's what we should do. And if we have done our Koros HaToyv, then maybe we'll be Zeicha, so that there shouldn't be so much sincere Torah in Klal Yisrael. And I just want to end this segment of the talk about being Makir Tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a beautiful shot that Rav Neventhal says in the Gemara Brachos Mem Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says, what does a good guest say? Oirach Tov, a good guest who comes to your house, you know what he says? Kamatichas Torah Balabayas. The Balabayas did everything just because of me. The extra chon, the extra keg, the extra kugel, he did it just for me. That's a nice guest. We are all guests in this world. That's what he says. We have to be the Oirach Toiv. We have to be the good guests in this world and say that the Balabayas, the Eibush made this kinos just for me. Every person should feel. Everybody is here secondary. The Eibush made it for me so I could learn something here tonight. The Eibush made that there should be grocery stores and bakeries only for me. That there's a cool breeze only for me. That's how you have to look at it. That's what the Oirach Toiv says. The Mishnah always tells us that there is a terrible midah that we should all be misrachik from. There's a terrible midah that we should keep away from, Ovei Beis says. What midah is that? If somebody lends you money, if you borrow money, make sure to pay it back. Eizeh uderech lo sheyisrachik mimena ha'odom, Rab Shimon oimah ha'loyza ve'ena mishalim. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains in his essay on HaKoros HaToyv, you know what that means? If somebody did you a favor, what kind of chutzpah do you have not to pay back a loan? How many people here have given money to others and people don't pay you back and then you get turned off and you don't want to lend to anybody else? And sometimes a person doesn't have money to pay back, but the least that he can do is call the day the loan is due and let him say, I'm sorry I can't pay, but I have HaKoros HaToyv that you are willing to give me the money. You know what the Chinuch says in Mitzvah Lam Gimel about Kibud Avaim? Mishor Shein Mitzvah Zu. You know what the root of this mitzvah is? Sheyakir Ve'yigmol Chesed L'mi She'osa Imay Tova. A person has to be grateful to those, especially parents. You have to be grateful to those who did you so many favors. V'lo Yiyeh Novel. Don't be disgusting. Shezu midara umeusa betachlis. This is repulsive in a total sense. This is despicable. If somebody does you a favor and you don't say thank you. If parents raised you and brought you into this world, how do you dare not be makitoyf to them? Do you know a lady wrote me a letter and she said that she went to her married daughter and son-in-law And she came with her husband, a whole bunch of packages. And as she pulls up to the house, she blows the horn and the daughter calls out from the window, "Mom, busy with the kids. Could you bring in the packages?" And the son-in-law doesn't go out either. Whether he was learning or not, I don't know. But it doesn't make any difference. Where's the Hakaras HaTayis? And another mother tells me that she drove to her children far away, and then the mother, when she walks into the house, the daughter tells her, "Ma, I just didn't get a chance to make the linen. Could you do the linen in your room?" Terrible. I couldn't make up a story like that. That's Hakaras HaTayis. That's what the Chinuch calls in Sefer and Mitzvah Lamed Gimel Me'usa. It's disgusting. Do you know what Rav Segal used to do? Rav Segal used to learn Mishnayos. He used to learn Mishnayos for the Chavetz Chavavos, for the Mesilas Yeshurun, for the Shari Tshuva, because he felt those were his Rebbe. We learn Rashi. Do we ever learn a Mishnayos? Was Echa Nishmas Rashi? Who thinks about it? Who thinks about the development of previous generations that we gained from? Do we ever think Hakaras HaTayis to them? Do you know Rav Segal was once in Williamsburg? And he was visiting the Satmar Rebbe. So before he left, he went over to Rav Ashkenazi, the Satmar Rebbe Shamus. And he said, "Shamus, Rav Ashkenazi, thank you for taking care of the Heiliger Rebbe. If you didn't take care of him, we wouldn't have a Rebbe today." Who thinks of that? What happens when you're sitting at the table at a wedding and the waiter brings you the food? Does anybody turn to the waiter and say thank you? When you dance at a wedding and you had such a great time, does anybody ever go over to the musicians and say thank you? I'll show you. Let's see. You go to a wedding without music. Let's see how you dance. Does it occur to anybody to go over to a pilot or to a bus driver and say thank you? Did it ever occur to anybody to go to the back in the bakery and thank the person who's got flour from his head to his toe and thank him for the challah that he made or for that delicious chocolate 7-layer cake that he made? So what if you paid for it? You all have to pay for it. You can't get anything for free. But you should thank the person who's working for you, even if you pay him. That's not enough thanks. I want to show you a letter that Rav Zessler wrote. Rav Zessler wrote a letter to his Talmud. He writes to his Talmud, Rav Zusha Weltner. He thanks the Talmud. He says, "I came to your house early in the morning and you already had a pot of tea waiting for me. And your wife was so kind. She wanted I should eat this and this and this. Everything she wanted I should eat, but I wasn't feeling well. But now it's the next day. And the cake that she gave me," I'll give you the lesson, he writes, "the cake that she gave me, the great Rabbi Eliyahu Zessler, the Mashgiach in Geitzer, and then the Mashgiach in Ponovitz, is writing a letter to a fellow to thank his wife for that sweet and delicious cake. Nothing to be embarrassed about. You owe Hakaras HaTayis. Thank you. You owe Hakaras HaTayis to somebody who makes food for you." That's what Rav Zessler is trying to show us. You know, every single time that my children, my boys, made a siyum on a masechta, I always have them bring a group of bachurim from the Beis Medrash, and I tell them this Gemara. The Gemara is in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. Abaye said, "Tastily, you got to hand it to me, because when I saw that a young man finished a masechta in the Beis Medrash, I made a party for all the Talmidim." So I was wondering, why did he make it party for all the Talmidim? He should make for the boy who finished the Masechta. The Teretz is, Abaye is trying to teach you. You couldn't have finished it alone. You can only finish it if you have a whole group there. Everybody's inspiring you. So Abaye was showing, you think you finished this Masechta, but make a party for everybody. And that's why I did, when my son had a bar mitzvah, I invited every single Rebbe, from the kindergarten Rebbe all the way to the 8th grade, including Mor Aleha, who's sitting here. Every one of them. Why? Oh, the 4th grade Rebbe had already moved to Miami. I didn't send him a ticket, but I sent him an invitation. At least let him think that somebody cares about them. After all, they also had a part in the chinuch. In my humble opinion, I hope no principal and no board of directors is going to be angry at me, but really I don't care, because I think it's a terrible avla when a yeshiva or a Beis Yaakov makes a dinner and they charge the teachers for coming to the dinner. And they charge the rebbeim for coming to the dinner. I think it's an avla gedolah. How much money do they make anyway? They have the most important job in Klal Yisrael. Your school is only a school worth something because of the Rebbe's, not because of the furniture. Because of the Rebbe's and the Moritz. They deserve to come to the dinner. And if there's a lot of teachers in the school and it costs a lot to make a girl, five couples should be able to come every week, every year, different couples should be able to come. That's a Hakaras HaTayis. And how much more? Thank you. Thank you, Shalom. And how much more do we have to be so careful with Karen? I want to tell you something that's not going to be pleasant to listen to, especially to all the boys who are going to listen to this tape. But all you mothers, make sure your boys listen to this tape. Because I'm going to tell you something that Rav Elia Lapian wrote about how boys behave, Bein Azmanin. He says, Yesh Lizkar, Bachrim, remember, Tei Shin Lamed Zayin and Shin Lamed Ches and Lev Eliyahu Chele Gimel. Yesh Lizkar, Lazar Lahoyrim, Besidur Habayit. Make sure that when you come home, Bein Azmanin, you help your mother. It goes to seminary girls too. Shalai Yigran Chas V'Shalom, you shouldn't cause that the mother will say, Oy Vey, this is what they teach my kid in the yeshiva. Doesn't he know that he has to participate? He's also a chelik of the house. And he writes, listen to this sharp lesson. The yesh min abochrim. The abochrim kishaboyim ben azmanim lebeisam. When they come ben azmanim, they spread themselves out on the couch like Tina Goylem, he writes. Umispankim. And they spoil themselves b'terusim shoinim. I was learning the whole time. I'm exhausted. I'm a ben Torah. It doesn't pass that I should go by fish. Doesn't pass that you shouldn't be kibbut av ha'ein. That's what Abel Yelapian is telling you. He says, "Ein zoyz ki im roya leid v'chasoron hakor satoyz." And I want to tell you something that's not going to be pleasant to listen to. I spoke to a Yiddish psychologist, a Ben Torah, and he said many parents are at fault because we give our kids everything. And when you ask, when you give your child something, and the child doesn't say please, you know what many mothers say? Here, Tavala, you can have it, but next time say please. No, you can't have it. Don't spoil your children rotten, because if you spoil them rotten, then they think that you owe them everything. You don't owe them anything. They owe you. But they don't know that. You know why? Because we're constantly giving. And we don't expect please, and we don't expect thank you. And if they say it, the next time we're happy. That's not good enough. Don't spoil the children. Don't let them think as Al-Kumse. And if you're firm with the children, then they'll be appreciative. And one more thing about being appreciative. Listen to this amazing Gemara. The Gemara is in Yevamah Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Rav Chiya Havakom Etzarele Debitzu. His wife gave him tzoras. The Gemara doesn't explain what kind of tzoras, and even Rashi doesn't tell us. But we all know if a wife wants to give tzoras to her husband, or how can she give him tzoras? The Gemara doesn't have to explain. But listen to what Rav Chiya did. Rav Chiya, it says, his wife was umgegangen in the yorin. He had a mashiach meeting when Rav Chiya saw something nice. Silent the sudre. He wrapped it up in a package. Oh, Maizanel, he gave her a gift. So Rav was watching this. So Rav says, oh, welcome to Silent Lamar. She's driving you nuts. She's making you crazy. She's giving you sour. What are you giving her a gift? Listen to what he said. Amalek. And listen to the lesson. Dayenu. It's good enough for us. They do plenty of good things for us. They raise our children, and they save us from sin. So I was wondering, Rav, why are you asking this concept to Rav Chiya? What do you care? If his wife is difficult and he wants to make amends, so to speak, and he wants to try to give her good things, what's the problem? Terah says Rav had the same problem, the Gemara tells us. That's why I believe Rav asked him. Rav, the Gemara before tells us, Yevamah Samach Gimel, every time he asked for lentils, his wife gave him beans. If he wanted honeydew, she gave him cantaloupe. If he wanted cantaloupe, she gave him whatever. Always the opposite. So Rav was thinking, hey, I got such a wife. I'm supposed to buy a gift. Terah says, yes. You know why? Because not every marriage is perfect. And even if the marriage is not perfect, there's a lot of good that a husband does to a wife and a lot of good that a wife does to a husband. And if that's the case, you got to be grateful for whatever they do. That was Oda Marisa's problem. Of course she gave him bad advice, but there was a lot of good that she did. Not every marriage is going to be perfect. You don't have to have it totally perfect to give a compliment. And I'll tell you another thing. I would like to make a suggestion. And again, of course, this is for the men, more for the women. But I think that many women will agree with it. And I think perhaps in Elul, when we want to begin being makisot, not only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not only to our friends, but to our husbands and wives, I think that no husband should begin eating a meal, especially Friday night, until the wife comes to the table. Many wives, especially with many children, by the time they serve the fish, this one wants fish with ketchup, fish without the ketchup, fish with the mayonnaise, with the carrots, without the carrots, 2 pieces of cream, no piece of cream, I want the sweet cream. By the time she dishes out everything and she comes to the table, everybody's finished already. A wife is not a servant. A wife is not a maid. She's entitled to some Derech Eretz. I think the Hakaras HaTzayif would be to wait till she comes to the table. Of course, her husband is the one who eats first. He's the uncontested leader in the house. But certainly, I would think that in this time, when we're trying to learn about Hakaras HaTzayif, that's one way of showing Hakaras HaTzayif. What does the expression Kofutayif mean? We use that all the time. And the Torah Tamima tells us, and also the Sifte Chachamim. The Sifte Chachamim is in Dvarim Chavav Gimel. He tells us, you know, the word kaf, kof kei, a spoon is a kaf. Something that's circular is a kaf. At Yarmulke in Israel is called kippah because it's a covering. Kofu toiv means that you take the toiv, thank you, that you take the toiv and you're covering it. You make believe it doesn't exist. Kofu toiv, there are people who totally deny that you did them a favor. They're covering it, like a kippah, like a dome. Then there's another pshat. I think this is a pshat as well. We all know every morning we say, Hashem zoykeis kafufim. The Eved just straightens out those that are crooked. Kof pei can also mean something that's bent. And the problem is, sometimes a person does a favor to you, and you bend that favor out of shape. You say, man, it's not such a big favor. It's a little thing. It's nothing. That's a kof pei. You're taking that favor and you're bending it, and you don't appreciate really what he did. How many times do people say, that favor, he did it for himself? I know a family out of town, they lived out of town, very wealthy people. So when his daughter became high school age, he mom had built a high school. So people in the community said, well, he did it for himself. Why should we say thank you? Now your kids don't have to go out of town. And they could all stay here and they don't have to go to all the other places across the country. Sometimes a fellow fixes the Erev in a community. And people say, he did it for himself. Thank you, Joe. He did it for himself. He did it. He wanted to be able to carry on Shabbos. They both gave it, but he did it, and you gained. So you're mechuyav to say thank you. Or sometimes a person will say, "Well, he did me a favor. I did him a bigger favor. He owes me." Sometimes I know of a case where there was a rebbe in a community, and a fellow in the community lent him money. And he felt that the rebbe wasn't market toys. So I spoke to the rebbe and I said, "You know, the guy feels a little bad. He lent you money." He said, I should be machatzeit. You know what I did for his kid? I saved his kid. If not for me, that kid would be out in the street. Yeah, but he lent you money, right? And you couldn't afford the house unless he gave you the money. So the idea is, of course people do favors. And maybe you do a bigger favor, but we still owe Hakaras HaTzayif. Or something, sometimes you'll say, what he did is no bother. You bend it. What, he took an envelope to Eretz Yisrael? He didn't take a small refrigerator like he once said, right? He took an envelope. What's the big deal? Somebody came to pick it up. Yeah, but you didn't have to send it, and you didn't have any worries. Now let's learn one more thing. We learned what it means to be marketized, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what it means to be marketized to people. Listen to this story. Rabbi Yosef Rosenblum, one of the Rosh Hashivas here in Borough Park, the Rosh Hashiva Yeshiva Sharif Yosef, told me something fascinating. He showed me a sheet of Makabet, a static base on the base. The Rif, one of the Rishenim, was once very sick, and there was a man in his neighborhood who had a therapeutic bath, a merchat. So the man said to the Rif, listen, come to my house. I have this bathhouse. It's very therapeutic. It'll heal you. Not only that, you could stay in my house. And the Rif took a stay, and he got well. Nebuchad, a year later, this man became very poverty-stricken. And he had to sell many of his possessions. And one of the things that he had to sell was his bathhouse. So he said to the Rif, listen, you're an Erech Yid. I want you to evaluate how much this therapeutic bath is worth. And then I'll be able to sell it, and I'll give money to that person. And the Rif said, I will definitely not chop up this bathhouse. You know why? Because what happens if I under-evaluate it? That'll be a lack of a Hakaras HaTzayif. I gained from this bathhouse. If I gained from it, so I can't do anything that in a way could hurt it. So there is such a thing as having a Hakaras HaTzayif for something that's inanimate. We all know, many of us know, that there's a great tzaddik who recently passed away in Muncie. His name is Rav Mordechai Schwab. Do you know this tzaddik, Rav Mordechai Schwab? When he had a suit that was frayed, he just didn't throw it out. He used to take his clothes and he put it in a plastic bag. And his son told me, he used to say to the clothes in this Yiddish lashon, "Du hast mir gut badin." Isn't that beautiful? And he kept it in the bag for a few days, and then he put it in another plastic bag, and then he put it out. We should have a Hakaras HaTzayif to our clothes. There's no reason for anyone to throw clothes on the floor. Really not. Imagine if we didn't have the clothes that we have to warm us, to protect us. There's such a thing as having Hakaras HaTayi for inanimate objects as well. And we all know Moshe Rabbeinu, the prophet tells us, by Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Emor el Aaron Neteyes Matcha V'Hachas Afar Aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't hit the ground. He was not allowed to hit the ground by the Makkah of Kinim. Why? Because the ground protected him. It buried that person that he had killed. So even for an inanimate object, in Shemoy Ches Yudbeis, we find that a person has to be grateful. And one more thing. The prophet tells us in Bereishis Lamed Gimel Yudchet, Vayove Yankev Sholem. Yankev came intact to Ir Shechem, and it says, Vayichan es Pnei Ha'ir. Vayichan es Pnei Ha'ir, the Medrash tells us, Chain. He did something nice for the neighborhood. Do you know what Yankev did for the neighborhood? His chil mamid hatlisin. He opened up a marketplace, or mocher bezoil. Because he was grateful to the community, he opened up stores and he charged things cheaply. We have to ask ourselves tonight, in the neighborhood that we live, do we do anything to benefit that neighborhood? If we left, would anybody care? Do we give any shiurim? Do we host any shiurim? Oh boy, would I, my goodness, where'd you get that? Thank you. Do we give shiurim? Do we host shiurim? Do we provide a Torah newsletter? Do we fix the shul? Are we involved in a mikvah? Are we involved in the school? Do you belong to Hatzalah? Do you remove the snow in front of your house? Or does your lawn look like terrible that people are embarrassed to walk by and you ruin the real estate in the neighborhood? I want to tell you what Rabbi Elia Meir Bloch did. Rabbi Elia Meir Bloch in Tells, he was marketplace to the building. He used to pick up all the pieces of paper from the floor. So one time a fellow told me, he doesn't want to say his name, he was standing by the water fountain and he saw a young Talmud was scraping off from the bottom of the floor, on the floor, he's scraping off a piece of gum. And he couldn't get over it. This is what a Talmud does. Because the Talmud was very close to Rabbi Elia Meir Bloch. He understood that the Rebbe wanted he should have a Koras HaTayi for that building. You know who that Talmud is? That Talmud is today the Rosh Hashiva in South Chicago, Rabbi Avraham Chaim Levine. Here's something that's not pleasant to talk about, but we have to talk about it anyway. Then we'll review and we'll end with a fabulous story. How many times do we go into a bathroom in a school, a boys' school or a girls' school? I don't have to tell you what those rooms look like. Or in a shul. It's terrible. Where's the Hakaras HaTayi to that room? You don't have to treat it like your living room. But if Chas V'Shalom, somebody was not able to be able to make this bracha, you know what kind of pain you would be in. I was once close to a person who couldn't do what he was supposed to do. Gehenim on this world it was. I couldn't even stay in the room to watch the pain of that person. You have to be marketplace even for the simple things in life. And so every room in the house deserves to be clean. Your house should be clean. You have to have a Koras HaTayi to the rooms in your house. So now let's review everything that we said, and then we'll end with a fabulous story. Let's remember Ani L'Dei D'V'Dei D'Li. We came here tonight to recognize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Let us hope that Hashem then will see the good that we do. Let us remember Hashem Tzilcha, the Eidus is your shadow. If you are good to others, Eidus is going to be good to you. Let's remember we wake up and we say Maida. That's the first thing we say thank you. Kol HaNeshama T'Halakha HaLuka. That's the last pasuk. We have to be thankful for every breath of life. Maidim D'Rabbanan. Not enough just to say Baruch Hu V'Shamayin Amen. Let's remember Leah named her son Yehuda. We are Yehudim because a Jew says thank you. Adam never was a kafu toiv. The Dor HaPlaga was kafu toiv. Klal Yisrael by Amalek was kafu toiv, and that's why never they got the punishment from Amalek. We have to stop and think and not take anything for granted. We have to remember that Rav Shimon B'Chalafta, that wind that he got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, how much gesamim do I owe Hashem? We owe so much. What Rav Chaskel said, let's look tonight or tomorrow when we eat at the beauty of food and the variety of food that we have. And when we bench, it's not only an idea of the frumkeit of benching, but it's an idea of saying thank you. But remember that story of Rav Nigashol. The reason that he said the truth to that policeman was, Al Takaras HaTayi, David, to save your life, you should have a Takaras HaTayi to him. And do exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Let's start saying, Hoydu Lashem Kitoiv Kidu Elam Chastoi. Let's remember what my Mechutin did at a wedding, that he got up to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What a beautiful idea that is. Let's remember the bracha Tiyotza. Let's remember perhaps from Elul on, we should be careful to say 100 brachas every day. Let's remember the thing that we have to be misrachic from, that the chinuch says is most, is despicable and loathsome, is kofi toif to people who have done you favors. Let's remember that letter that Rav Zessler wrote about that delicious piece of cake. Let's remember that Abaye made a siyum for everyone, to thank all the Talmidim that one Talmud was able to make a siyum. Perhaps we should invite all the Rebbeim when we make a bar mitzvah. Perhaps when your son or daughter gets engaged, thank everybody who read a shidduch to them. Thank the waiter, thank the pilot, thank the baker, thank the musician. Let's remember, kofi toif has two meanings. Kofi toif is either you cover the good and you forget about it, or else you bend it out of shape and you make it as if it wasn't there. And let's remember the inanimate item, that merchatz of the rift that he wouldn't under-evaluate. The begodim that we have, never to throw them on the floor, to treat them with care, just like Rav Schwab did. And let's remember, Yaakov Avinu understood that he had an achrayus to his community. Let us all ask ourselves tonight, what do we do for our community? I would like to tell you now one of the greatest stories that I have ever heard, and perhaps one of the greatest stories that you will ever hear in your life. This story begins in 1908. In 1908, there was a queen of Holland. Her name was Queen Wilhelmina. She was a very deeply religious person. And it happened one year in 1908, she decided to go to Marienbad. Marienbad at that time was in Hungary, today it's part of the Czech Republic. And at that time when she went, she didn't go as an official visit, but rather she went as a small vacation. So she didn't really have a whole entourage with her. She just had a few people. And she comes to the train station in Marienbad. And there is a tremendous crowd and a tremendous tumult. And she asks, what's going on here? And they tell her that there was a great Hasidic Rebbe that just came to Marienbad. Now, she was a deeply religious person, so she understood what a rabbi was, but she had never heard of a Hasidic Rebbe. So she said to her attendants, what is a Hasidic Rebbe? What is he? What does he do? And the people said that this is a great Munkacher Rebbe. The Munkacher Rebbe of Tzvi Hirsch Shapiro, the one who put together the Darkei Tshuva, the Be'er Lachai Roy on the Zoyar. And this Rebbe is a person that people come to, and they get advice, and they get blessings, and people tell this great Rebbe their pain and problems, and he's able to help them. And she heard it, and she began to think about her own problems. Queen Wilhelmina was the last one of her generation that could have been either a king or a queen. She had three half-brothers that had died. And the doctors told her that there was very little chance that she could have children. And she was terrified and so depressed because she was worried, how is her melucha going to continue? And when she heard that the Munkacher Rebbe is here, so she thought that maybe she could get a blessing from this person, this special person. So that afternoon she sent a messenger to the Rebbe and asked if he would come to see her. And the Rebbe felt that it wasn't covered, that he couldn't go, he couldn't leave his chassidim, he couldn't do it. And of course the queen wasn't willing to come to him because that would be a big thing, everybody would know about it, and she wanted it quiet. So they made up that they would meet in a park, a beautiful park in Marienbad, quietly, late in the afternoon. The Rebbe would have two bachurim with him, the queen would have some attendants, and nobody would know about it. And the Rebbe and the queen met. And when she took a look at the holy face of the Rebbe, she realized in a moment what kind of tzaddik he was. You could see the gestalt, the kedusha on his face. And she began crying and she said, Rebbe, I have no children. And the doctors tell me that I can't have children. And I'm so worried, I want my malchus, my royalty to continue. Rebbe, she cried, please give me a blessing. And the Rebbe saw her pain. And the Rebbe, through an interpreter, said, tell the queen, Ke'eis Chaya, that within a year she will have a child. And then the Rebbe said something remarkable. He said, tell her, Malchus lo yinotek ad ki yovoi shilai. Her kingdom will not break, will not be severed until Mashiach comes. The next year in 1909, the queen had a little girl named Juliana. That was the only child she ever had. And in 1948, many years later, Juliana became queen. Today, the queen in Holland is Queen Beatrix, who is Juliana's daughter, and Queen Beatrix has four sons. And we are all, Mitzvah Hashem, going to live to see how the Munkatu Rebbe's bracha continues. Ati Yovei Shilai. That's the end of the first part of this story. During the war in the 1940s, many, many people from Hungary, Nebach, were taken to concentration camps. And there was one great tzaddik, Rabbi Yankov Zwickel, who Nebach was dragged to Bergen-Belsen. And there his 18-year-old son, Nebach Shmuel, was killed. And they took 12 svarim that he had in manuscript form, and they ripped them and burned them. And after the war, Rabbi Yankov Zwickel, he wanted to go back, but he couldn't go back to Hungary. That wasn't the place for Yidden after the war. And so he thought, where could he go? And many Yidden thought that Holland, Amsterdam, would be a good place. And so he wrote a letter, and he applied for an immigration visa, that he should be able to come into Holland. And they told him, we're only taking people who can contribute, who can help our country. What is your job? And he said, he's a rabbi. And they said, we have plenty of rabbis. And so Rav Yankov Zwickel wrote a letter in Yiddish. His son Moshe from Stamford Hill explained to me why he wrote it in Yiddish, so that nobody should understand it. It would have to be translated, and it would be given directly to the queen. And he wrote, Tyra Kenigan, dearest Queen Wilhelmina, you surely remember your history in 1908 when you came to Marienbad, and you were so depressed and you were so worried. And the great Munkatu Rebbe gave you a blessing. But there was a boy who had to transfer that blessing. The boy had to be an interpreter in German. I was that boy. I was the boy who transferred the Rebbe's blessing and gave you the message. And so now I ask you, Tyra Queen Wilhelmina, please, in recognition in Hakaras HaTov, that I gave you the message of that beautiful blessing, that you should allow me to come into the country. And when she saw this letter, she turned over every immigration law. And she sent him what is known as a telegraphic visa. To the point that when he came to the Dutch border and the Dutch police saw a telegraphic visa from the Queen, they took him out of the train and they put him into first class. They thought he must be somebody very, very special. And he came to Amsterdam. And he came to the Nidre Yisrael Yechaneh Shul, where he became the Rav, and he was there for more than 17 years. And he wrote a sefer that Rav David Cohen showed me, Leket Kemach HaKodesh. And he writes in there, in the Hagdama, I have tremendous Hakaras HaTov to Queen Wilhelmina, and I give them my blessing, that her and her daughter Queen Juliana, that their malchus should continue ad ki yovei shilai. The Heinzik and Munkatu Rebbe just told the other day that al Hakaras HaTov Queen Wilhelmina came back to the Minchas Aloza once during Shabbos Shuva, and the Rebbe went out after davening with a whole entourage of Chassidim. There are people here in Baruch Papa still remember that scene, the Rebbe walking out after davening and greeting Queen Wilhelmina. And Hakaras HaTov, she came back to visit the son of the Rebbe who gave her a bracha. We have to learn what it means, Hakaras HaTov. We have to learn Hakaras HaTov from that queen, and also the Hakaras HaTov that this Rabbi Yankov Zwickel had to the queen. There's another definition of Hakaras HaTov. Recognize that there's good in this world. When I was preparing this talk, I decided, not that I do it all the time, and not that I'm suggesting that you should do it, but I put on News Radio 88 just to prove a point to myself. Let me tell you the first 7 stories that were on the top of the news 3 weeks ago. Hurricane Bonnie will hit Florida. Sea swells and riptides kill a man in New Jersey. Terrible news. Police shoot a boy who aimed a water gun at him. Terrible news. Schools overcrowded. What a joke. 33 kids, they call overcrowded in the public schools. 33, 34 kids. How are the teachers going to handle it? Bad news. They don't know how they're going to give education to the kids. Kidnapping growth is a growth industry. If somebody goes either to Pakistan, Philippines, or Brazil, or Ecuador, they have to be very careful. They might get kidnapped. SNEC, the Connecticut phone company, is on strike. Northwestern is going to go on strike. They went on strike. The Lincoln Tunnel is under construction. Terrible mess. It's hot, humid, hazy. Everything is bad. We always focus on the bad. Hakoras Hatoiv means know that it's good. Let's walk out of here tonight understanding with Pisgat Yehuda that we are not like that. That we can walk and talk and think and breathe. No organization better than that could have brought that home to us tonight. When we saw those children in a jail by themselves, confined within their bodies, how much greatness, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu we have to have. That's the message for all of us in Elul. Ani L'doydi, I will recognize the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for me. And hopefully the Eibishter will look at the good that we have and act to us accordingly. Let us learn tonight to be makitoyv to each other. Makitoyv to even inanimate objects. And let us learn that if Taka, Bein Odom La'Mokan, and Bein Odom La'Chaveiroi is enhanced by the messages Ani L'doydi V'doydi Li, then all of us Taka will be Zoycha to have a Klal Yisrael that will be Ba'achdus. We could all live Ad to Yavai Shiloi. Let us recognize the good. All of you should have a good Gevench Deyar, and all of you should be written to Sefer Chaim, Toiva, Brocha, and Gezeroi, Toiva, Yeshua, Benachomai. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.